Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today, I'd like to preach a message to you out of Acts chapter 9, verse 6. In Acts chapter 9, Saul meets Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and realizes that he's been wrong. He realizes that Jesus Christ truly is the resurrected Savior, the Messiah of Israel, God manifest in the flesh. And in verse 6, Saul asks the Lord, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Verse 6 says, "He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." What was the question that Paul asked? What wilt thou have me to do? Now, I want to tell you something. That question, "What wilt thou have me to do?" is so much better than the question people typically ask in a time of trouble. You know what the question is that typically gets asked? You'll find it in Romans chapter 9, verse 20. They'll ask this, "Why? Why? Why hast thou made me thus?" You see, people get stuck whenever they run into trouble with God when they ask the question, "Why? Why me? Why did this happen? I don't understand, Lord. Explain this to me. Why did my baby die? Why did my father die? Why did this wreck happen? Why did my house burn down? Why did I lose my job? Why did my investments fail?" You know, all that kind of thing. Now, why is a question that we've discussed before. We had a broadcast one time called God, Why? And in that discussion, you know what? The question why just doesn't lead to anything. You know what it usually leads to? It usually leads to bitterness against God. I mean, because there's never a satisfactory answer. If the Lord told you, "Well, I took your father because of this," you may not agree with him. He just sets up an argument, a fuss, a complaint. Why is not the question to ask. The question to ask is, what? Because with the question, what, you can get somewhere. You can find out something the Lord wants you to do and get going. You can move forward. You know, you come to the Lord right where you are when you ask the question, what? When you ask the question why, you're back there wherever the event happened. Yesterday, last month, last year, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. I never could figure out why. But with the question what, you begin to move forward. You come to the Lord right here where you are. Because you're looking for what to do now that you find yourself in the case that you're in. Regardless of whether the situation you're in is good or bad. Paul said, bang, you know, he's blind, he's just met the Lord, his plans are being changed. What wilt thou have me to do? Listen, when you ask the question, what, there are several things that you're looking for. First of all, you're looking for God's will. When you ask the question, what, you're not asking God to explain himself. You're telling the Lord, okay, now that I'm in this situation, now that these circumstances are upon me, what do you want me to do? For instance, in Acts chapter 27, later on in Paul's life, he's on a boat, and he knew already this boat was never going to make it to Rome or up into Italy. He knew that. It was the wrong time of year. It was wrong circumstances. And sure enough, they got caught in a bad storm. And Paul didn't turn to the Lord and say, why? I mean, you told me I'm supposed to go up here to Italy and I'm supposed to be up here in Rome. Why am I going through this shipwreck? He didn't ask that. You know what he would have asked? What now? What should I do? And in the process, the Lord shows him, verse 24 of Acts chapter 27, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You know what he said in verse 25? Wherefore, sirs, he's telling all the people on the boat, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul wasn't wringing his hands, asking why. You know what he did? He said, okay, now what? And the Lord tells him, the whole boatload of prisoners is going to be saved. You see, when you ask what, you're not stuck on what could have been. Paul is not sitting there going, you know, Lord, we could have been still wintering in a nice port. We could have made this trip without shipwreck. We could have made this without peril and without loss of the ship. But he didn't say that. He's moving forward on what can be, not on what could have been. You see, when you ask the Lord the question, what, you make the best of what at the time is a bad situation. So I don't know the circumstance you may be in right now. You could be in a marital difficulty. You could be, truly, as I said, a child very sick, or a child just passed, or a financial calamity, or a job change, or a move, or you know, some trouble in your life. Don't ask why. Certainly not why me. Just ask the Lord what. Okay, now that this circumstance is upon me, what do you want me to do? What is your will? Because you know what you're doing? You're beginning to see what God intended. It's an indication that you trust God with your life and that the circumstance you're in right now is not an accident. There could be the chastening hand of God on it, in which case the Lord's will is for you to turn from something. Or it could very well be that the Lord's will included the trouble that you're in so that he could do something else for you. And so you have to ask him, okay, now what? What's the next thing? The second thing, when you ask the question what, not only are you looking for God's will, but when you ask the question what, you're recovering from the shock. I mean, it's a shock to your system when suddenly everything is going well and then, boom, something bad happens. Here's Paul and Silas. They've been given instruction to go to Philippi. They had the Macedonian call, and they get down there, and boom, there's a shock. What happens? They get beaten with many stripes, and then they wind up in jail in the stocks. And so Paul and Silas would be asking the question, now what? And you know what they did in verse 25 of Acts chapter 16? At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. In other words, Paul and Silas weren't sitting around crying about their unjust wounds, and they weren't fussing at God for leading them into a trap. Why'd you do this to us, God? They didn't do that. They looked at what they should do, and then they did it. You know what they did? They did what they always do at this time of night. They prayed and sang praises unto God. Paul talked about the many watchings. This time of night, if he was still awake, he would sing praises to God and pray. That's what they did. And you know what? They began to recover from the shock. You see, with the question why, all you can do is relive the shock. He could turn to Silas and say, I don't know why they beat us. Back to the shock. I don't know why they've locked us up in the prison. Back to the shock. I don't know why God gave us that vision. Back to the shock. I don't know why we were preaching to those people. Back to the shock. But when you ask what, you have determined to leave the shock in the past and to recover from the shock. With the question what, you are moving past the shock. You're going on to the next step. Okay, that happened. I acknowledge that it happened. It doesn't really make a difference why it happened. Here I am in the circumstance that I find myself. Now what do I do? And you begin to recover from the shock. You get over it. That's a wonderful thing. You see, the question is what, not why. When you ask the question what, you're looking for God's will. When you ask the question what, you're recovering from the shock. When you ask the question what, you're forestalling depression. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verses 7 through 9. Just look at a little bit of Paul's testimony. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Verse 8, "We are troubled on every side, and yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." Verse 9, "Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." You see, Paul could have become very, very despondent with his life, because he was persecuted, he was perplexed, he was distressed, he was troubled. Everywhere he went, he met up with trouble. Whether he was with Gentiles or Jews, mostly with the Jews. And yet for Paul, he never, never got depressed. Ever. And that's a remarkable thing. When you read his testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm telling you, that reads like a criminal, not like God's chosen vessel, not like one of his apostles. Beaten, stoned, whipped, imprisoned, starved out, shipwrecked, miserable, cold, naked, could have been despairing of life, but he never got depressed. Why? Because he didn't ask the Lord, "Why are you putting me through this?" He just asked what? "Okay, here I am. I don't have any food. What should I do now?" He never got depressed. Listen, when you go through trouble, you may be hurt. Most likely you will be. When you go through trouble, you may be grieving, and if it's certainly the loss of a loved one, you will be. But when you ask, what? You know what you're doing? You are determining not to stay in the hurt, not to stay in the grief. Take, for instance, a person who's married, and he's still young. He's in his 40s or 50s, and he loses, you know, his wife dies. And he could be sitting there going, "Why, God? Why did you take her from me?" And I realize that grief is going to lead you there. But you know what? It's not going to bring her back. And it's not going to ease the grief. All it's going to do is increase it and cause it to go into depression. But when you ask the question, what? "Okay, Lord, you gave us 20 good years of marriage. My spouse is gone. What do you want me to do now?" You know what you're doing? You are determining not to stay in the hurt, not to stay in the grief. You're determining to move on from it, and you are forestalling depression. You are putting up a preventative to going into a ditch or a well or a hole that you might not ever get out of. So when you ask the question, what? You're looking for God's will. You're recovering from the shock. You're forestalling depression. But that's not all. When you ask the question, what? You are depending upon God's grace. You see, you find yourself in a bad situation at a place where your strength is insufficient. And you know something? Oftentimes, that's just where God wants you. Paul found that he was insufficiently strong to deal with the thorn in his flesh. So God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul goes on to say, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, Paul learned that he could not do the work God called him to do in his own strength. And Paul was a tough man. But in spite of the fact that he was a tough man, Paul had limits. And God made sure to take Paul to his limits so that Paul would know that it was by the grace of God that he was able to minister the way that he did. And God will do that with you. Because God's grace can only strengthen you when you acknowledge your weakness and acknowledge his strength. And you know something? Trouble is a great way for you, and it's a great way for me, to turn from our own strength, our own pride, our own dependence, and rely upon God's strength and God's grace. We need those experiences. We don't like them, but we need them. Why? Because they're instructive, because there's no other way. Listen, unless you get to a point of weakness, how's God going to transfer you over to His grace? It comes in a time of trouble. It comes in a time of infirmity. It comes in a time of reproach or necessity or persecution or distress, as Paul said. You get sick at an inopportune time. You say, why, God? Won't help you. Because it's not going to change the circumstance. You're sick. I remember years ago, I'd just gotten into the ministry, and we were building a small work, and we were in a storefront, and there was a lot to do, and I was finishing my master's at the same time, and things were coming down to the wire. The master's program was grueling, to say the least, and things were coming down to the wire. It started late. And I got sick. I mean, I got sick. I got something called Giardia. You may or may not know what it is, but you end up with dysentery. And let me tell you something. My frame is pretty small anyway, and I lost 25 pounds in 5 days. And that is a lot to lose. Do you understand? It absolutely wasted me. And not only that, but I had a missions conference up in Wisconsin that I had to travel to. So I'm really sick. And I'm having a terrible time plodding through all of this work, fly up to Wisconsin, and I don't have a communicable disease. Giardia is not communicable. Preach through the 5-day conference, fly home, and here I am, you know, weak as can be. And you know something? Finished that master's. And did well on it. And I learned something about God's grace that I would have never learned had I not gone through that. You see, the question wasn't at that point, why did you do this to me? I probably would have quit. The question was, what's this all about? What do you want me to do now? And I just dedicated myself in God's grace to the completion of that task. And we got finished. It took me 2 years after that long illness with Giardia. It took me 2 years to gain my weight back. That's how tough that thing was. But the question never was why. The question was what? What do you want me to do now? And you know what he wanted me to do? He wanted me to depend upon his grace. That's what you do when you ask the question what. And his grace was sufficient to get me through. So all glory goes to God, not to the guy that finished his master's. See, when you ask the question what in a time of trouble, you're simply looking for God's will. You're not looking to change the circumstance. You're recovering from the shock of it. You're forestalling depression, because if you ever go there, you're stuck. And you're depending upon God's grace, but that's not all. When you ask the question what, you're living with purpose. That's right. You're living with purpose. You're determined that my life is going to count for something. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and notice what Paul said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 15, Paul said, talking about all this stuff he was going through, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Paul said, hey, I got a job to do here. And this is for the sake of the people to whom I'm ministering, and this is for the sake of the glory of God. You see, Paul never took his eyes off the course or his purpose for living. And when you go through trouble and come out on the other side, you're not just an existing victim of circumstance, and you're not a walking pity party. You have something to do for the Lord, a way to serve Him, a way to serve others. You know what you often find when you go through problems and then you ask the question what? You often find your ministry of consolation. You often find a place of purpose that would have never been revealed to you had you not gone through the trouble. You often see that your ministry is really about other people and not about yourself, but you had to go through trouble to realize how desperately they needed you to minister to them. And you also realize that all of this is for God's glory and not for your own, because you kind of came up beat up on the other end of the deal. And that's okay. Now, I've watched men in the ministry for years and years and years, and men that are doing something that really counts for God, they I'm going to tell you what, they have their encounter with trouble. And they don't get stuck as depressed victims of bad circumstances, and they don't get stuck as walking pity parties. They bounce back from those kind of things, and they say, you know what, now I know what my purpose is. It causes them to focus in on it, to concentrate on it, to know what it really is. You know, when people have trouble, a lot of times they have to, as the world says, they have to focus harder to get anything done because of this problem, because of this distraction. And you know what? God blesses them with greater purpose. Johnny Erickson Tata broke her, you know, her neck or her back high on her spine, and as a young girl, and you know that it created a tremendous anxiety for her. But you know what? She found her purpose in it and has for decades lived with that purpose and had an extremely effective ministry. And she'll tell you herself, she could have never had that type of ministry if it hadn't been for that trouble. And the question was not why, it's what. You see, when you ask the question what, you're looking for God's will. You're recovering from the shock. You've determined you're not going to stay there, and you're forestalling depression so you don't get stuck. You're depending upon God's grace because you're too weak to do anything else, and now you're living with purpose because it sharpens what it is that God really wanted you to do. But that's not all. When you ask the question, what, you are encouraging others. That's right. You are encouraging others. Listen, Paul could have asked many times over, Lord, why? Everywhere I go, these people keep beating me. Why? Why are you letting that happen? Why don't you take better care of me? He didn't do that. And you know what he learned? He learned in Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, because of all that he took, he said, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. In other words, he said, what I'm going through, this is helping others because they're now waxing confident by my bonds. They're much more bold to speak the word without fear. See, when Paul went through trouble, others became bolder to preach the gospel as a result of his trouble and as a result of the way he handled the trouble. You see, when you ask the question, what, you're encouraging others. You see, when others see you bounce back from a fall, when others see you bounce back from getting knocked down, you know what they do? They rally around you. And they aren't there to keep you going necessarily, although some may be there for that reason. You know why they're there? Many are there to get some of what you got. They're there because they want some of that stuff in you to rub off on them. They need it. They see that and they say, man, that guy is made of metal. I know the thing that he's just going through. I know the trouble that he's experiencing, and look how he's bounced back. And then that stuff rubs off on them. They want to be around that. You are encouraging others. Listen, if you fold your tent and cry and stay stuck and it all happened to me and it all turned against me and I'm living this pity for the rest of my life, the circumstances against me are so bad. Listen, I don't disagree with you. They probably are bad circumstances, and I don't mean to make light of them by talking in a wimpy little fashion, but I'm trying to tell you, listen, you don't want to stay stuck where you are. And the way to get out of it is to quit asking why God let it happen and to start asking, what should I do now? And when you find that the Lord has a will for your life and a purpose for your life, and that you can actually recover from the shock and not go into depression, and that God's grace is truly strong enough to strengthen you through the problem, you're going to find others coming around you. Right now, people don't want to be around you anymore. They know that you're hurting, but they're tired of listening to the whining. At first, they understood it to be grief. At first, they understood it to be hurting. But you've had long enough now to heal. You've had long enough for your hurt to get better. You've had long enough now for the grief to stop. And they're getting tired of you whining and looking for pity. So if you ask the question, what, and you come through on God's will with purpose, strengthened by God's grace, and you come out of depression and you don't live in the past anymore, You know what? You're going to find more people around you. And you know why? They're going to say, wow, I don't know what it was, but it sure is good, and I'd sure like to have some of that. Because people can only take the tears so long. They're looking for strength. They're looking for metal. They're looking for character. They're looking for joy. They're looking for somebody that can bounce back and come up higher than where he was when he fell. Listen. Next time you face trouble, ask the question, what? And you know what you will do? You will begin seeing God move in your life in a way that will, first of all, verify that Romans 8:28 is true. God did say all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He said that. And what he said, he meant. And what he said is true. And it's awfully hard to see at times, but it's still true. And listen, when you ask what, you start bouncing back, you're going to verify that Romans 8:28 is indeed true. And you know something else you'll do? You'll magnify his glory. Just like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:15, this stuff is for your sakes, but it redounds to the glory of God. And you know something? That's what we're to do, is glorify God. Really, in everything that we do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see it? And I'll tell you something else it'll do, and this is profound. You ask what, and you verify Romans 8:28 and magnify God's glory, I'll tell you something else. It'll satisfy your soul. That's right. You will satisfy your soul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul runs down the litany of all the horrible things that he had gone through in the ministry, he said this in 2 Corinthians 11:30 and 31, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which confirm my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. I mean, Paul found a satisfaction down in the depths of that trouble that nobody else can find till they've walked through it by the grace of God. I'm telling you, don't ask why, ask what, and then you'll see. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.